Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, really, first time getting up there. I've said some things to the guys in the huddle, and obviously the offense during practice. But you're really in the meeting room. I wouldn't say I was, really that nervous. But exactly like Fred said, really the first time, and I think Jacoby's did a great job during training camp of really doing it. And he still does it, throughout the season of getting the offense, a real leader on the offense. So he's trying to sell my part and. I think the point got across. That's the main thing.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Hey, hi, how are you? Welcome. It's WEEI Afternoons. I'm Christian Arcan, Andy Hart here as well. Nice to have you with us here today on a Ross Tucker Tuesday.
Oh, now you seem nice. You've already yelled at me before the show even started.
I apologize for my outburst.
Threw a D's nuts at me.
I did, and it wasn't even like a clever one.
No!
I just blurted it out. Yeah, there was
which
nothing.
Which diminished kind of your reputation because you were living off the highlight of your last D's nuts.
I was,
joke.
And that was, I don't know if I'm ever going to top that.
Now you're 50-50.
One. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a great one. I don't know. I was annoyed. You were annoying me. What do you want me to
it's
say?
It's always good when I annoy you before the show starts.
Yeah.
We're not even waiting to 5 o'clock today. We started at like 1:50.
I was a little over the top. I apologize.
What did he do? What
angry.
What he was just annoyed. He's like,
he finds positivity annoying.
No, I find your blind optimism and wagging your finger at people who don't think the Red Sox are going to get Juan Soto annoying.
It's not blind optimism.
Yes,
there's reported optimism.
They reported it. We were in on everybody last year.
And it's also the Christian Fourier rule of due. With the reported optimism, sooner or later, they're due to live up to the optimism.
Okay, well, I'll believe
like
it when
apples.
I see it.
How about these nuts?
Because of Fourier's made-up rule, I don't care about that. I don't care about any of that. I'm going by what the Red Sox have done lately. And what they've done lately is not spend $600 million on an outfielder when they got three guys already blocking that position who they refuse to trade. Like, that's why I got annoyed. But either way, that's not what we're going to start with today. We do have some Red Sox stuff to get to, which we will talk about later on in the program. What you just heard, though, is Drake May talking to us yesterday when we were getting along great, by the way. Maybe it's,
it's over.
Maybe it's in here. It's the setting that we're in that
it's true. We were in the comfy chairs.
Like
so
comfy
we were a little
chairs,
more laid back.
Much more relaxed, just a little happy to see
now
each
we get
other.
In this place and they're just oozing negativity.
It's true. I don't know. Maybe it's the chairs.
It's the
I have
Stencho
no idea.
Jones.
Could be that. Could be that. Anyways, Drake May yesterday was talking about his message getting across.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a good answer by him. The whole topic of him sort of seizing the reins and addressing the offense and the reaction that the players had to it, his reaction to it, his description of it, the way the coaches described it, all of it seemed, and I know I've said this at times with various things over the course of these last 10 weeks, it seemed significant. That seemed like a significant thing. Like his play at the end of the Titans game, that was significant. Winning that first game against the Bengals at the time seemed significant. You know what I mean? Like there's various significant moments over the course of the season. And this isn't one that we were privy to. We didn't get to see this. We don't know exactly what it sounded like, although we have a pretty good idea since we know what he talks like. But we didn't get to hear what it sounded like or how the speech landed or what exactly he talked about or who he mentioned, if he mentioned any names or anything like that. We don't know. But we do know that they won the game, the offense looked pretty good, and everybody reacted to it positively. Now, there was a time when Mac Jones was here, and not to bring everything back to Mac Jones, but there was a time when it seemed like the players on the team, on the offense in particular, Myers, Bourne, those guys, liked him.
Oh, yeah.
And liked playing for him and said he was a good leader and said, oh, yeah, we're all about Matt. It may have been a little bit of copium going on there because they knew he wasn't that good, but they liked him, or at least they said they liked him, and they put that out there and made it seem like they were all rallying around number 10 and that Mac Jones was their guy. It fell apart over the span of the next 2 years, but you did hear that. And I think some people bought it more than others. How much are you buying this right now with Drake May? It seems like you're all in.
Absolutely. Don't yell at me for being optimistic and take a positive spin here.
Go ahead.
I think the guy is a genuine leader. I think he oozes leadership, whether it's in the post-game locker room, on the practice field, on the field in general. There is a cocksuredness to him. We talked about it yesterday that, well, if a guy's open, I mean, if a guy's one-on-one, I consider that open, I'm going to throw him the ball, right? Like, I don't know what you're talking about, NFL open, college open. Remember Bill was talking about that when he was crapping all over him in the breakdown pre-draft? Like, you're not going to get much more open than this. He doesn't care whether he's open or not because he'll throw the guy open. He'll hit his receiver in the hands. And I think that's a visualization of that confidence. And I would also put this out there, Your Honor. What if I told you that there were only five quarterbacks in the National Football League better than Drake May?
I would disagree with that, but let's explore that.
The Athletic told you. Because in The Athletic, when they do their power rankings, they also...
Is it one author, or is it like the whole NFL, the whole football writer, like they all do it?
I can tell you real quick with I scroll to the top.
Because it's different if it's one man's opinion versus many men and women's opinion, or one woman's opinion.
Many men.
Many people, right? I mean,
how about Josh Kendall?
Josh Kendall.
Yeah. Is he your guy?
I don't know Josh Kendall. I'm not familiar with his work. Let me look him up here, see what his deal is.
Is he a
childhood friend of Drake May, perhaps? Josh Kendall, The Athletic. All right, I'm taking a look here.
It's his bio.
Atlanta Falcons beat writer for The Athletic. There'll be some golf, maybe even a little college football at times. Email jkendall@theathletic.com. All right, I'm going to email
Sounds like
this
a
guy
dude.
And say, what the hell, dude?
Normal dude. Anyway.
Fifth best quarterback in the league.
So, which I'm taking some liberties to make my point here.
Uh-huh.
But when The Athletic does their power rankings, which they moved the Patriots up to 23rd, I believe.
I think it's just the link you sent in the email.
Yes.
It was 22nd. 22nd in that email, yes.
Bit reactionary for one win over a bad football team that fired one of its coaches.
I know, you were just scolding people for being happy about that win,
But the quarterback confidence rating, which they include for every team, 1 to 32, for Drake May and the Patriots is a 7. So what does that tell you? For comparison's purposes, I did work, I have a legal notebook pad or whatever you call
it. Look at that, you actually do.
10. The only guy that got a 10 in QB confidence rating, who you think that is?
I would guess it's probably Josh Allen?
No!
Lamar Jackson.
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. So it's not necessarily based on their stats this year.
It's a confidence rating. So yeah,
Burrow has the best stats this year. He's ridiculous. Well, him and Jackson have the best stats.
So the only guy that got a 9 was Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Three guys got an 8. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Justin Herbert.
Okay.
Then a boatload of quarterbacks got a 7.
Did you say Goff already or not?
No, okay, Goff got a 7 your guy. Drake May got a 7. Matthew Stafford got a 7. Kyler Murray, who some want to talk up as a sneaky MVP candidate, got a 7. Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, be-all, end-all rookie QB. How about C.J. Stroud, be-all, end-all rookie QB a year ago? Those are all 7s, just like your quarterback, Drake May. There's only 5 quarterbacks, according to The Athletic, that are surefire ahead of Drake May in terms of a confidence rating. That's where the confidence is right now for the Patriots and Drake May.
Well, according to this one person,
woo!
Do you agree with that, by the way? Do you agree that he's on the same level as Jared Goff and Kyler Murray and Jaden Daniels and all those guys? I mean, that's was Sam Darnold on the list? I didn't hear his
Sam
name.
Darnold is a 5.
He's a 5. Where's,
Jordan Love, Bo Nix, Geno Smith, and Tua are a 6.
They're 6s. Where's Purdy?
Purdy is in the 7 category.
Purdy's in the 7
category.
The 7
is the fattest category.
Mm-hmm.
They had, I don't know, looks like probably 10 or 12 in the 7 category. So that's that differentiation. They clearly have those 5 guys kind of on a pedestal.
Right.
And then that second tier of quarterback, and Drake May's in there. Now, obviously, he could be 6 or he could be 12.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean they're all equal. It means that, right.
Gave him the same confidence rating, and I would argue has the worst team around him, right? To get that confidence rating?
Yes, I would agree with that. Yeah, sure.
I would argue we still have questions about his coaching, even though Alex Van Pelt may be coming off his best week, best game plan, whatever, the balanced offense, all of that. So he also has the smallest sample of anybody in there.
Is that baked into the – how do they come up with this? Like, how do they come up with these numbers? Is there a system to it, or is it just this guy's
imagination? I think he just anoints a number. Like, he just appoints them a number.
Okay. He doesn't have, like, a system, you know?
I don't think it's a formula or a new age. I think he picks and chooses what he bakes into.
It's not like
into
getting into the Japanese Baseball Hall of Fame. You got to do this,
no,
this, and this.
No,
and
no, no,
in,
no,
right?
No. It's more
okay.
like the American Hall of Fame where
it's got to be a player.
I don't know,
in
some
the
guys
yeah.
voted or said that they like me, they don't like me. He's a 7.
Got it.
And I don't disagree with a lot of it. You got all over me. You know who got a 2?
No, I don't.
The first person I said Drake May was better than.
You said Drake May was better than Aaron Rodgers.
Correct.
Yeah,
he
well, Aaron Rodgers, I agree with him being down there. Yeah, sure.
But I am with this. I think the way this team is trending, the way Drake May's play and leadership together are trending. Okay, are we avoiding that ugly interception? Sure, we're avoiding that, mm-hmm. but it happened. You move on from it. He learns from it. Maybe he's better this week. Are we also giving him credit for, he played a bad football team, but the bad football team has a decent defense. The Bears' defense is not horrific.
And I think the Titans have a decent defense,
right.
too. Yeah.
So he's playing NFL teams.
He's played two good defenses
in
a row.
NFL competition out there. They're not just cakewalks. I just think that's interesting that somebody who's on a national level, you said it, he covers the Falcons, he does power rankings for The Athletic, he's a national viewpoint, has Drake May now lumped in with the meatiest portion of good quarterbacks, right? That group, I would say, Kirk Cousins, Brock Purdy, Baker, those are good quarterbacks for the here and for the now. They're not elite. Mm-hmm. The elite got the higher grades. Do you disagree with this? Because I agree with this. I think Drake May is playing himself into the good. I believe you have your franchise quarterback, and if you have your franchise quarterback, it means you have a guy that's in the top 12 to 15 in the NFL. And that's what Drake May is and is trending toward.
Sure. I think that, I'd have to look at this thing, but I might have him a step below some guys like Jared Goff and players like that. Maybe I'd have those guys higher.
Well, you didn't like his 5 picks he threw the other night?
Well, I didn't like May's 3 picks in the last 2 weeks either, and his lost fumble and all the turnovers. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about turnovers and ignore Drake May's and Jared Goff's?
I would look at Goff's more because Goff's happened in a dome. Goff happens with arguably the greatest offensive coordinator of this millennium, according to many people out there.
A lot of people are saying that,
right?
Yeah.
With a good offense around him, multiple backs, he's got multiple receivers, mm-hmm. and Drake May is trying to make chicken salad.
Sure, but you can say that about anybody. You can say that about almost every single quarterback in the league has a better situation around them
yes.
than Drake May.
And that's why Drake May gets bonus points. You know, like those tests where your teacher's like, well, you got 2 wrong, so it's an 87, but I gave you bonus points for this. You're back up to a 95.
No, but you're admitting you're grading on a curve with him because his stats on their own aren't exactly that right. But that's the point, is that you can't look at him like you can at Jaden Daniels, who admittedly has a better situation than May does by at least one or two playmakers on the offense. Not that much better, though, and he's having a considerably better year. And I think that when you look around, what we're doing here and the exercise I wanted to do here was, what are we overrating and what are we underrating about Drake May? And I think that the leadership and the behind-the-scenes stuff might be getting underrated a little bit, maybe not anymore after this big speech mm-hmm. and what he did this week. But I think his play on the field is kind of getting overrated at this point. I think he's had some great plays and some good throws. He's had a lot of bad ones. And in general, it's led to a kind of up-and-down season so far that hasn't necessarily dazzled me all the whole time. You know, like, I'm not watching all these games going, man, this guy's awesome.
As a franchise quarterback.
There's a couple of... What's going on?
The organization.
What's happening right now?
I don't know. David in the
what
car.
What was that?
What, is he such a popular caller, he comes right on the air whenever the hell he wants?
I don't even have to pot him
how
up.
How that just happened.
He just jumped right on.
Yeah, he's got a secret hotline.
Weird.
That was amazing.
I didn't press anything. I was over on the computer.
I definitely did not put him on the air.
I blame Brian.
I think it was Brian's fault.
It has to be.
I don't know how I can put him on the air from here.
You press the button next to his name, so you do it. And boom, they're right.
No, it's on the board. I don't have control of it over here.
Oh, well, I don't know about that then. Yeah. All I know is I could hear him. And
the rookie mistake.
You know what? He didn't even wait to be brought on the air. He just started talking.
He just started going.
That, now, that's a caller to this show, I'll tell you what. Listen, I like Drake May. I'm not acting like I don't like Drake May. But I do think that stuff like that, putting him on the same tier as Jared Goff and all these guys after 4 starts, 2 of which were pretty good, 2 of which were a little more schmeh, I'd say, is a little bit over yet, right? You talk about people saying that the Patriots could be a playoff team. Like, that's ridiculous and so overreactive. Mm. I think putting Drake May on the list with some of those quarterbacks on the same level as them is a little overreactive, too.
So it's what we do in the NFL.
Right.
Don't, like, all these national shows do, like, Overreaction Monday or whatever. Like,
sure.
they lead off their show what they're going to overreact to. I don't necessarily believe it's overreacting, but part of that is because I like Drake May. I liked him coming out. I liked him coming into the season. Every step along the way, I've liked what I've seen from him. I also would push back against, I don't think he's had that many really bad throws. I have not seen a ton of bad throws. The one this week was the worstest. That was a horrific throw.
Very bad.
I also still don't really believe him, which bothers me, because I want to trust everything
he
says.
Did he trying to throw it away?
Yeah, I don't think he was. I think he convinced himself he was trying to throw it away. The other thing that I think is we are overrating, and I've said this all along, I don't think his arm is as strong as people say it is. He is not Josh Allen strong-armed.
Okay.
He's good arm, and he can roll left and throw, and he can do those things.
He can do that, yeah.
Mac couldn't do. Like, it's way above Mac,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know that his arm is that much stronger than I don't know. Did you think Tom Brady had an elite arm?
I thought it was good. He had a good arm.
I think Drake May is like Brady with Brady's strength, but with the ability to do it rolling left. I don't think Brady could do that. That wasn't really part of his. He had to be on platform. Mm-hmm. He focused on that.
Yeah.
But I think his arm is overrated. I do think his running ability was underrated coming in. Now I think his running ability has gotten a little overrated, honestly. If you go back and really break down all his runs, there's a lot of runs where he is very close to an ankle tackle, a D lineman or a linebacker, and he does like a little high step, kick step, and gets out of it. I think a lot of his runs that went for like 8 or 10 yards could have been tackles for a loss or tackles for no gain. He's not Michael Vick. He's not one of these really elusive Lamar Jackson runners. I don't even necessarily know if he's as good a runner as Josh Allen, the awesome comp that everybody likes to throw out there now that I had first a long time ago. But give me some bad throws. And this is, I shouldn't have put you on the spot like this, but like, do you have any bad throws that really come to mind? Like the booty one, I'm assuming you're including in there to end overtime.
I didn't like that. The first interception against Houston, which we did, took me a second to get there. But I thought that was a bad throw too. He almost got picked off in the end zone, threw it right into the linebacker's gut there, and he dropped it. There's been a bunch of dropped interceptions, which they're not interceptions, but they are representative of bad decisions that he made to throw into that.
Who leads the NFL in almost interceptions over the last few years?
I have no idea.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I don't know if anyone's supposed to know that. But. I mean, come on.
Oh, whoa. So, then you don't dabble in Patriot Twitter because all you people, the Fitzies of the world, bitch about it all the time. That he's the luckiest SOB that's ever walked the planet and he gets away with interception-worthy throws all the time and all these things.
I don't believe those things. So, I mean, that's fine. If you go by passer rating and QB rating, which I agree, when you try and break it down and you're doing a smaller sample size than these other quarterbacks that you're putting them up against, sometimes you got to go by the averages, you got to go by the ratings. If you go by passer rating, Drake May is currently 25th in the NFL. He's behind Rodgers, Prescott, Stafford, Lawrence, Love, Geno Smith, Stroud, all those guys. He's ahead of Winston, Nix, Dalton, Caleb Williams, Levis, Jones, Deshaun Watson, etc. Jacoby Brissett as well. If you go by QB rating, the ESPN QB rating, he's a little bit higher. He's 16th ahead of Flacco, Darnold, Stroud, Nix, Goff. So there you go for Goff. There's a point in your favor. He's behind Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, Cousins, Stafford, Herbert, Carr, Lawrence, Hurts, Purdy, Mahomes, etc. These aren't perfect stats either, by the way. I don't think that they are because there's some names who shouldn't be above or behind any of those guys either. But if you're talking about, is he a top 10, top 15 even quarterback? I don't know. It's hard to get there with what we've seen so far. I do think he's a good leader, and I do think he's progressing, and I think he'll eventually get to that, but I'm not sure he's there yet.
Oh, I think he's there. And that's where the Fitzy and I did the activity 2 weeks ago. Didn't even have this game under our belt and said, would this team take Drake May or their current QB situation? And I think you can get half the league to take Drake May and feel good about Drake May over a limited sample. That's the risk you run, is a limited sample. And it's, I said to you, a guy like Will Levis, did anybody in Tennessee ever feel good about Will Levis? And he had that 4-touchdown game.
Right.
Like, was there a short window, a week, maybe 2 weeks?
Oh, there definitely was.
Right?
Yeah.
And we're in a relatively short window here. Now, the difference is, I think Drake May is smart on the field and off the field. Mm-hmm. I am seeing what is an intelligent leader, quarterback, athlete, competitor. And it may be they want to sell us a narrative, but they tell us, right, he's not an error repeater. Gerard Mayo tells us every week he's not an error repeater. AVP tells us every week May is not an error repeater. If that's true, then he's going to trend better moving forward.
Well,
it's
is
just
it? I mean, do you think he's getting better with turnovers as the year goes on? I'm not sure about that.
Oh,
I mean, it's only 4 games, so.
No, I do.
He'll eventually, I think, hopefully, if this is true, get that more out of his game.
And the turnovers don't bother me, really, because I watched Peyton Manning throw 28 as a rookie.
Right.
And I think all quarterbacks get away with them. I've seen Tom Brady hit guys in the hands. I want to say, am I wrong that the play before the Julian Edelman catch in the Super Bowl against the Falcons, didn't he try to throw a pick, and then he hit a linebacker in the hands, and that play should have never. There's a famous Brady would-be interception.
In the Super Bowl?
I believe so. I believe Brady.
Before Edelman had that.
I believe
short
Brady
touchdown?
Hit a linebacker right in the hands, and he dropped it.
He might be right.
I know for a fact Joe Montana did in one of his game-winning touchdown drives.
So he's Joe Montana.
Hit a linebacker.
Okay.
Like, these guys, it's the reality of the situation, and I would say your stats, especially the passer rating, is heavily weighted towards interceptions.
Probably, yeah.
And he's got the 5 picks to only 7 touchdowns. So the reality is he has almost a 1-to-1 ratio. That's going to hinder his passer rating. He needs to get that up.
Statistically, his best game was the Jacksonville game. That was when he's 26-37, 276 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 3 runs for 18 yards. Not his best running game, but that was definitely his best passing game. A 70% completion percentage and a QB rating of 110. Now, that's good. If he had 4 starts like that, then I don't think we'd be even having this conversation. He'd definitely be there. Maybe he'd even be a tier above that if all of his starts were like that. But they haven't been. I mean, it's just, you know, they haven't been. He's had more turnovers lately. His yards have gone down. Like, these are things that I'm just acknowledging. It's just the reality of who he's been so far. These stats are recorded, you know? Like, I like him, and I think he's getting better, and I do think there's improvements. But he has... His best game was about a month ago now, you know? Like, that's fair to say, isn't it?
One of my favorite arguments about any team, any whatever, is if everybody else did their job as well as X, how would they be? Where does Drake May rank in terms of the Patriots offense, in terms of who does their job best?
I'd say he's number one.
I would, too.
I would also call that damning with faint praise, but yes.
But it's the reality.
It's true, yeah.
Everyone else is beneath him. Everyone else is making his job harder, not easier, right? Is that fair to say? No. Henry's not making
his job easier.
And maybe you can mix
sometimes.
In a Hooper.
Yeah,
like,
right.
We could have conversations, but for the most part, everybody else is pulling him down instead of lifting him up. Wow, I really am a homer. When I said it like that, it really makes me sound like a homer on the radio.
Yeah, or like a youth pastor.
I'm okay with it, because everybody tells me I'm so negative, and I hate everything, and I'm a hardo. So you know what?
And that's, you project that
get
on
over
me,
it.
Then. Yeah, is what
get
happens.
Over it. I like Drake May. I think he's good, and I agree with The Athletic. He's in the middle pack of upper half of the NFL quarterbacks. That's your reality. He's better than Caleb Williams. That guy's a dink.
That's reality. I'll say that.
Caleb Williams is tearing that team down from within.
But if you had said a month ago, that Caleb Williams was going to be so bad that he gets his offensive coordinator fired and that Alex Van Pelt and Drake May would be flying high here a month ago, based on where those two offenses were, Caleb Williams looked good a month ago.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams looked like he was going to be a promising NFL player. This is killing Brian to hear this, by the way. And this is now not the case anymore. I think everyone's expecting he might get benched now. But a month ago, it seemed like that whole thing was chugging right along and that they were in the driver's seat and everything else. And now here we are a month later. I guess it just goes to show, in the NFL, things change very quickly. If you had said that the current situation is what it is here in New England, it is what it is in Chicago, people would not have believed you a month ago. And now here we are.
And the biggest issue with all of them, the Saints were the perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints were the best offense in football through a couple of weeks. One of those
was the Panthers,
right? And I think, so Caleb Williams opened with the Titans. He's got the Colts on there. He played the Panthers, right? Like, that helped him look good. And Drake May has had some of those. I think the Jaguars kind of helped him look good for a little bit there. They actually lost the game. Before you throw to break, I do need to read a text, though. The 207, it's a very important text.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, Andy, as always. Back to you.
Wow. Succinct.
Wow.
It really says it all.
You're right, Andy. Thanks, Texter. You're awesome. Let's make out later.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. Ross Tucker joins the show right after Stiz gets you covered.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Caught up on what's trending.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI. On WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937. And joining us on the line right now is Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Tucker, how we doing, buddy?
I'm doing better than you, Christian. Aren't you bummed out? You got another win on Sunday.
No, that's Andy. Andy's the one who doesn't want any more wins. I'm fine with wins.
Picking
and
frickin' seventh.
Let's go ahead and start
there. Wait, hold on a second.
What?
I had that wrong. Andy, it's you?
Andy's the guy. Andy's the
this
one who
team needs
wants
talent.
To
yeah. Talent.
At two, Andy?
Yep.
I can't believe you. I thought you were like a football guy.
Yeah,
I
Andy. Have, whoa. What's that mean?
What that means is that you should realize that winning games is good. It's healthy for the culture. It's good for Gerard Mayo and the locker room and the team. It's good for the confidence of the roster. It's especially important for the young quarterback. And I can show you the draft every year that a lot of times the guy taking seventh is better than the guy taking third.
Is that true when Elliott Wolf does it? Because I have some doubts about Elliott Wolf, too, based on last year's draft. But also, the culture thing worries me because I'm not sure how many bodies on this football team are going to be on this team next year. There's going to be a lot of roster turnover in the next year or so between when this team stinks and becomes a winner. So I don't know how much value there is other than the quarterback. I'll acknowledge your quarterback. But I also think if you bring in winners, you bring in competitors, guys like Drake May, you'll have a winning culture, and he is leading a winning culture.
Didn't they already, although it's funny, I was about to name all the guys they paid this offseason, and two of them, Uche and Jabril, I'm pretty confident aren't going to be there next year.
Yep.
Uche definitely isn't. We'll see about Peppers.
So, and Okorafor was gone in week one.
That's
they
true.
Signed him to be a starting left
and
tackle.
He left and the team.
Got the hell out of Dodge.
So who else did they pay? Godshaw.
Yep, they tried to trade him at the deadline.
Yep.
Bourne, they tried to trade him at the deadline.
No
this week
him.
They benched him. He's a healthy scratch.
They gave Stevenson money.
Who'd you just say, the second guy?
Kendrick Bourne, the veteran wide receiver. They tried hasn't gone well.
So to me, if I'm Mr. Kraft, like that would be very concerning. Very concerning that the front office identified these guys as part of the solution, and now this many of them either aren't there or they already traded or they tried to trade. The most important evaluation you can ever make is your own players.
Right.
You know, it is your own guys. And so that would be very, very concerning, I think it's fair to say, if I were the Patriots organization or a Patriots fan, that they might have missed on that many of their homegrown guys that they thought were longtime parts of the solution.
What do you think about that Bears game, Ross? Do you think it was more about the Patriots or more about the Bears the way that one ended?
It's both. Obviously, I don't know. It's probably more about the Bears just because they're a disaster right now. If we're being honest, it's not like I was blown away with what the Patriots did. Offensively, they were okay. Defensively, obviously, they looked really good, but so is everybody going against the Bears the last couple weeks, I guess. I mean, I don't know if it's a compliment or a knock if the team fires the offensive coordinator after you play against them. It's like, man, you guys played so well.
Rock
they
bottom.
Fired the coordinator. Or is it like right. The coordinator's so bad, he only scored 3 points against the Patriots that we're firing him?
I think it's the latter. I think it's yes. Yeah. Okay, this is rock bottom. We lost to the Patriots.
Nine sacks.
Time to panic. Someone's head's got to roll for this. We can't be losing. 9 sacks to the Patriots, yes. This is a Patriots team, Ross, as you know, that hasn't been producing a whole lot of pass rush. A lot of these quarterbacks finish the games. They don't have to wash their jerseys. Do you think that this could be something the Patriots build off of? There's a lot of bad teams in the league, as we've talked about with you, pretty much every week. Do they have a path here? Is there a chance for them to at least be competitive on the outskirts of this wild card race here?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to get into the wild card race, but they are certainly showing that they are an improving team, which is really, really important. I mean, you want to get better over the course of the year, and despite what Andy will tell you, you want to have something to build on going into next year. If they can have a winning record in the second half of the season, it just, listen, like winning begets more winning, right? And what's really crazy is you look back and you think about like the Seahawks overtime game or the Dolphins game or obviously, you know, the Titans overtime game. This team could have a winning record right now. I mean, they could certainly very easily could have won another game or two. I guess you could say they could have lost another game or two. So maybe yep. They're about where they should be. But looking forward, you know, I think a lot of these games are winnable. I mean, Rams, Dolphins, Colts, right? The next three. I don't look at any of those games and think, man, the Patriots have no shot in that one. Then you get to the Cardinals. They're pretty good. Cardinals, Bills, Chargers, Bills again. That's when it'll be get a little bit tougher. But they have a chance to win a couple more games here out of these next three.
Ross, one of the big storylines this week was apparently last week Drake May felt practice wasn't going well, so he addressed the offense and kind of elevated his leadership. And he admitted, you know, he was kind of questioning it and maybe fumbled some of his words. I'm wondering, from your perspective, you've been in huddles with young quarterbacks or meeting rooms with young quarterbacks. How important is that, that he not only feels the ability to do that, but the need to do it, and then goes out there and leads his team to victory a few days later?
Well, what you just said is the key. The fact that he and they backed it up with a win, that's what really matters, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, you know you're getting old when I look at Drake May and I'm like, gosh, he's just a kid. I can't believe I'm that old now. I can't believe I look at an NFL player and I'm like, oh my gosh, that kid could be my son. Like, yep. It's unbelievable. But I'll say this. I give him a lot of credit. I think I would be impressed that he even took the initiative, okay, to step up and try to say something. I think the players would be impressed by that. I mean, a lot of times rookies, they get in the huddle and they can barely even get the play out. And you're like, oh my gosh. You know, and it's, you're just not, you're like this kid. But the fact that
you got a name there? I don't mean to interrupt, but you got a name there. Anybody come to mind when you say something like that?
Yeah. One does for sure. I'm not going to give you the name. I feel like I've already, you could probably Google it. I feel like I've already bashed him enough over the years, probably. But it's especially the case when you're taking over for an established veteran, which is not really the case for Drake May, but it was the case for the guy I'm talking about who took over for Drew Bledsoe in Buffalo. So now I'm letting you guys know who it is, but now you have to do a little bit of research, like minimal research.
Took over for Bledsoe in Buffalo. Okay.
So that matters. Like that's important. I love the fact that Drake
JP Rossman.
I don't know who you're talking about. I like that he at least made that attempt, made that effort, right? And I think that says a lot about who he is, or just the confidence or swag, you know, that he has that he would do that. And then the fact that like the team backed it up or won after it, even if what he said made absolutely no sense, all those guys will remember now is, hey, he stepped up and then we went out there and won.
We're talking to Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Ross, obviously you're calling these games each week. Outside, quarterbacks aside, who's your favorite player to watch in the NFL right now? Who's the guy when you see his team on a list for a game you have to call, you're like, hell yeah, I get to watch this guy?
Well, there's two. Well, I'll say this. You know, I do a lot of Philly stuff, so I watch every Eagles game. Mm-hmm. And Saquon Barkley is just – he does at least one thing every game where you're like, holy crap. You know, that is rare. Especially when you know he weighs over 230 pounds. He's like a special, special guy. But the two guys that if they're on, I'm watching – or if I'm watching Red Zone and they flip to that game, I'm like, yes, it's Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield. And I would say to a little bit of a lesser extent, Lamar Jackson. But Lamar, like, you're just so used to it at this point. Whereas Josh Allen, there's still enough of, like, the wild man in there. Like, Josh Allen will do some stuff where you're like, I can't believe he even tried to do that. Lamar's kind of gotten rid of that part of it, which is half the fun, right? Like, Josh Allen, he'll just try to jump over somebody or he'll run over like a linebacker. And then Baker Mayfield, they've lost four in a row. I've enjoyed watching every one of those games. I love that dude. Like, and the thing that's crazy about it is he is like the perfect quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Like, the Browns should try to trade for Baker Mayfield. I mean, it's just crazy that they had him. And I know he got injured. I know he wasn't playing that great. It's just a shame because he's like exactly kind of the punk QB, if you will, that city would rally behind. And they did at one point.
Ross, what are your thoughts on in-season firings? Obviously, we had the news today that Shane Waldron was fired by the Bears as the offensive coordinator. Do you think they work? Do you think it's smart? Do you think the coordinator firing works underneath a head coach who's already facing his own questions? Just sort of thoughts on in-season firings for bad teams.
Yeah, I always look at it like it's funny because I look at it like the head coach is putting – everything right on squarely on their head when they do that.
Right.
Because you only do that, I feel like, if you know you're on the hot seat and you got to change things right now and try to turn it around to have any shot to be back the next year, which is why I'm actually doing Raiders at the Dolphins Sunday. Oof. For CBS.
Okay.
I'm a little bit surprised that Antonio Pierce did that. Because he's only in year one.
Yep.
I guess I feel like I would have waited till the end of the year, and that would be if my sacrificial lamb to the media and the fan base to get another year, right? Be like, yeah, I know, it wasn't a good year, but we picked the wrong coordinator. We're firing this guy or that guy. When you do it in the middle of the season, if it doesn't work, well, then what do you do? Then what do you say after the season? So to me, I definitely would have done it if I were Eberflus, because it's his only prayer in heck of keeping that job. I would not have done it if I were Antonio Pierce. Hmm. I would have done, although you know what, the thing with Antonio is he'll be able to sell, hey, we just don't have a quarterback at all. Like, our quarterback stinks. Give me 1 year at least with a quarterback that gives me a shot. Let me draft a quarterback, which they'll probably do. Probably be Shedeur Sanders. And Deion will say he's only going there if I'm the head coach. But Antonio can be my DC.
That sounds like that's probably what's going to happen. Something like that. Or Dallas, I've also, you're hearing the rumors,
yeah, there's
about
rumblings.
That as well. A lot of rumblings there, too. That is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Ross, thanks so much.
Of course. Great talking with you guys. Talk to you next week.
All right. Yep. We'll talk to you next Tuesday at 2:30 like we always do.
Will we?
Insider calls. Why not?
I don't know if I like him anymore.
Why? Because he
questioned my football guy-ness.
Actual football guy. NFL offensive lineman.
What makes him an actual football guy? Because he played in the NFL?
I mean, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I'd say that. Anyway, insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. If you missed any part of that, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to WEEI Afternoons on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. The Patriots trailing behind the Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. Dolphins with a nice win last night in Monday Night Football. We'll get to that and a look at the division right after this.
WEEI, New England Sports Original.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Tua keeps, fires, touchdown Miami, Tyreek Hill. Dolphins spread him out. Tyreek Hill with a 1 yard touchdown catch, his second touchdown of the year.
A must win game last night for the Miami Dolphins, and they won it. It's Christian Arcand, it's Andy Hart, it's WEEI Afternoons. The Dolphins coming away with a 23-15 win over the Rams in Los Angeles. Their schedule from here on out, not super tough. They got the Raiders, Patriots, Packers, Jets, Texans, Niners, Browns, Jets. So a couple of potentially tough games in there, but the Miami Dolphins, not dead yet. They're in second place right now at 3-6 in the AFC East. It's Buffalo's division to lose, obviously. They're 8-2. Every other team is a three-win team, with the Jets and Patriots both 3-7. The Dolphins had their bye. They're 3-6. Do you have any thoughts or ideas about the Dolphins potentially challenging Buffalo or going on a hot streak here with the schedule softening up a little bit with Tua back and seem to be clicking a little bit better? They looked better last night than they have recently.
Yeah, I think with those receivers and their relationship with Tua and what Mike McDaniel is supposed to be, that's a team that can get hot.
Mm.
And I do think they're sort of that cliche soft passing game team that when they get hot, it can carry over a couple games, right?
Yeah.
You could lose it. You could also do, you know, get hot for three games and then lose it again. And I know Tyreek has this wrist thing that he keeps complaining about that's messed him all up or whatever. I don't know. But, yeah, do I think they're a good team? Not necessarily. But defensively, they actually looked pretty good last night.
I thought they looked great defensively last night.
That it was funny because watching that game served as, you know, that was a work engagement to watch the Rams for next week.
Absolutely.
And the Dolphins for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And there was that stretch there. Jared Verse, I think, is going to kill the Patriots.
Jared Verse is good. The kid the Dolphins drafted had a sack last night. He's got Chop Robinson. He's good. They had some good young pass rushers in that game. Yeah.
Which I think could be a problem for this offensive line that people are doing that thing
Definitely. Again.
Everybody's talking themselves into coming off the Bears game. Oh, maybe the line's falling into place and they're getting better and Vedarian Lowe's good and all this. We'll see over the next couple of weeks because I do think Jared Verse, next week in particular, is really evolving into one of the what he was supposed to be. I mean, mm-hmm. He was drafted in the first round. Everybody said he might be the best pass rusher in the draft, and he looks like that. There was that stretch last night. There was like three straight turnovers or four straight turnovers. They just kept going back and forth because I don't think the Rams are a great team. They're not a great team. They have a couple receivers that they can throw at you. Matthew Stafford.
Five, I mean, they're okay. Yeah.
Yeah, like they can get hot at any time. I think they're way better than the Bears because they have, I don't know, a competent coach, a competent quarterback. Mm-hmm. Just right there, that puts you ahead of the Bears.
It does.
But no, I think both of these teams are definitely better than the Patriots, but also beatable, if that makes sense.
Yeah, before the first half was over, when fumble, field goal is how it was. So three consecutive turnovers, two of them by the Dolphins, and they still managed to come away with a win here, despite getting outscored in the fourth quarter, which, again, it wasn't the prettiest thing in the world. I'll tell you what I really liked in that game. Jonnu Smith, did you see that catch and run by him?
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
You
look at his like player page, he was good everywhere except here. He's been good everywhere except New England.
And that play is what teased them into thinking he was a weapon.
Yeah.
Because if you remember in training camp that year in the offseason, that's what they were doing. They were trying to get him the ball on crossers, short throws, in space, catch and run opportunities, and it just didn't work. I bought into it. I was like McDaniels. I was like, they all thought he was going to be great.
Hey, you know that works, right? Yeah.
And he was awful. Mm-hmm. Remember he was like, was it against the Saints? He like tried to catch it and like basically threw it to the defensive guy like he was setting a volleyball center thing.
That, yes.
He was horrific. But plays like that are what get GMs fired. Because you see that and you're like, oh my God, if he could do that more often. Well, he doesn't. He kind of stinks half the time.
Yeah, he does. Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Odell Beckham, Achane. Like, that's an offense there that you look at sort of the same way you look at the Bears' offense. The Rams' offense was really good. I think people expected maybe some more points in that game, but the defense really was the story of it, I thought. That was, on both ends, a very, very strong defensive performance. Also, how about Tua's interception, and then he goes and tackles the guy on the sideline?
Bounces his head right off the guy's leg.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that was not.
What are you doing?
Wouldn't that be one, if you're Mike McDaniel, wouldn't you have had a conversation? Listen, if you throw a pick, I'd rather give up a touchdown than have you make a tackle.
Absolutely.
Right, like, you're our quarterback. You're our multi-$100 million quarterback. We already saw earlier this year, when your head makes contact with even a belly, you ran into a guy's belly and got concussed.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do the dumb, you know, quarterback thing.
And that was a safety. That was, that was not a big guy.
Right.
You had a linebacker rumbling down the sideline full speed, and you just knelt right in front of him, basically, waiting for that hit to come. I saw that. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I didn't even want to watch the rest
of the game. Based on the last one, I was stunned that didn't lead to anything.
Me too.
I thought for sure, because you see with healthy guys that don't have concussion history, sometimes those knees hit a head and it's worse than the ground, it's worse than a helmet, and they were very fortunate.
Yeah, I would say so. 617-779-7937. Mike's in the car. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Hey, so, real quick, I kind of agree with you, Andy, in that people are definitely on the overreaction train with this win over the Bears. I mean, they're a terrible team.
Yep.
I still think that the offensive play calling for the Patriots is going to be their Achilles heel. It is completely vanilla. It is completely unimaginative. You know, I looked at, while I was waiting on hold, I looked at the drive charts for this game, okay? 8 out of 11 of the Patriots' drives, if you toss out, or 8 out of 11 of the drives, if you toss out the kneel down at the end, started with a run. Okay, if you toss out the drive at the end of the half where they got the ball with 35 seconds and pretty much had to start with a pass. Now you're talking about, you know, what is it, 7 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 drives that are starting with a run.
Yep.
They had some success this week because the Bears are the ninth worst rushing defense. Mm-hmm. But the reason why everybody's been, like, trying to figure out what's wrong with the rushing game, what's wrong with the rushing game. Gee, I don't know. Maybe because they're giving away first down on every single drive by rushing Ramondre Stevenson up the middle. Like, I get that you have to have offensive balance, but offensive balance means closer to 50-50 or 60-40. When almost 90% of your drives are starting with a run up the middle, the defense knows what's coming. You're forfeiting. You might as well start on 2nd and 10 every drive and just say, we're not even going to bother on first down because we might get somebody hurt.
I mean, they pretty much do start 2nd and 10 on every
yep.
drive. That's true. It's not very imaginative on first down. I do think in this past Chicago game, though, Van Pelt's play calling was better. I thought that there was definitely a better mix of run and pass. I thought he did get the play action working. I like the bootleg calls. I like the flea flicker call. It was only 7 yards, but I like that call. I like that they're doing more creative, imaginative things, but on first down, you're not really seeing much of it. It's usually later on in the drive, if the drive even gets far enough for something like that to be brought up in the first place.
And I don't know what to make of that, because that's what they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just flat out want to line up and run it on first down.
Yeah.
Like, they want to be sort of old school and powerful. Now, they don't have the line to do it.
They don't have
opinion.
The running back to do it either.
And I also thought his game got overblown.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, it was good to see him bounce back. He averaged like 3.6 yards per carry.
Yeah. It's better than before, like twice what he was doing before, but
yeah, but that doesn't make it good.
What, do we have some great running back?
It was funny. I was reading Mike Reese's. I love when he empties his notebook on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you read that, where he's got like
sure
those
do.
Little clips.
I basically just copy that for the Sunday Football Show.
Figures.
I just read a verbatim.
Smart plan of attack, and they'll like you because yeah. they like Reese. Everybody likes Reese.
This is what I, Christian Arkin,
right.
thinks. just read Mike Reese.
But he put in one of the clips. It was like Patriots defense held the Bears to like 3.6 yards per carry. It was a good effort up front. They,
mm-hmm.
And then they're like, good bounce back day from Ramondre Stevenson. And I'm like, wait, he had 3 points. You can't say the defense was good
right.
and then use his same number and say he was good. That's not how it works that way. I thought it was great that they were able to consistently run the ball in terms of carries. Like, they
yeah.
wanted some of the yards he got. I didn't think the offensive line had a great day owning the line of scrimmage. That's where I agree with Mayo. He kept saying this reminded me of the first couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. Where Ramondre Stevenson, whatever he gets on his own.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of big holes. I don't see.
He gets hit in the backfield
right.
and runs for 6 yards.
Whereas,
yeah.
like, you watch these Niners or Dolphins games where they scheme up runs, and it's like anybody they put in there is 7 yards downfield before he has to hit somebody, make a move on somebody. Ramondre would kill for those runs, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. 617-779-7937. We got room for you here as we shift gears to the Boston Bruins, who are playing the St. Louis Blues tonight. Is it the end days for Jim Montgomery? The Bruins lifeless in that third period against the Ottawa Senators. And we got reporters now questioning their conditioning. And Monty kind of saying, yeah, maybe a little bit. We'll get to all of that next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.